Okay, we are back in open session.
So my only comment on, like, if I try to recall cases, like, to be consistent, for consistency's sake, ones where I feel like we're concerned about the animals at the practice or the public or things like that, we have referred to other boards because of the risk of to other people. This one seems to me like a different case in that it's more isolated to one person. But he also made mention of the fact that he was only utilizing drugs that had previously been prescribed. So it wasn't like he was making the diagnosis and prescribing, which is what we've seen in other cases. He was actually just utilizing his stock of drugs instead of going to a pharmacy, which we all know is wrong. But what I'm saying is I can see where that's a slight difference in what we've had with other cases. So while I still support the violation either of the ethics or professionally acceptable procedures, so that he's aware, you this is bad judgment, you cannot do this, this is not okay. But then I feel like that's the end of our responsibility with this case.
I agree.
I was about to say that.
Yeah. Well put. I know what he did was wrong, but at least he was straightforward that whatever reason he didn't know it was wrong. At least I appreciate his honesty.
Yeah, and that's the
willingness to be, you know, to no longer do it if he was in violation. So
exactly.
And it can be difficult too in his position where if his wife was truly in need of those medications and with difficulties in getting into doctors, getting those prescriptions. I've seen it with my own family members, that it's taken them a week or two in order to get the medications that they need. So you could kind of see where, yes, it's a lack of judgment for sure, not condoning it, but.
Yeah, I completely agree. And the fact that, yeah, these are not just flippant prescriptions that I'm just like, oh, I think I need to start Flovstate or Ginseng meds. But as I need to start this medication or that medication, and I'm just going to do it just to do it, it's, well, I can pay this over here, I can pay this here, I'm buying it from a pharmacy, this is not necessarily controlled, I can still prescribe stuff, so I can give the benefit of the doubt to that gray line. I mean, it shouldn't be a gray line, but I can at least give the benefit of the doubt, okay, maybe you didn't quite understand that a pill from a pharmacy is not the same as a pill from your distributor. But it's still kind of like, yeah, I think leaving it in-house right now is probably a better option, because I don't see intent to distribute personally. I don't see, again, controlled drugs. If it was controlled drug, that's flat out a whole different level, in my opinion. So, yeah, I think.
But even those prescription products, even though it may be exactly the same thing, maybe exactly the same plan,
yeah,
a lot of them are not, but they do meet the same sterile fill process, yeah, and stuff that the FDA requires. But the label on that product, you're going to get a veterinary clinic, says it's for animal use only. Or if it's an RX, at the direction of a veterinarian only. Or something. So an off-label is illegal.
Yeah, Amduca doesn't cover people. I use generics all the time in my practice, and a lot of them are human generics. It's just like, it's what it is. It's a better option than we have for some of the animal drugs, I think, in a lot of cases. But again, we have certain laws that are written in Amduca for that. That's not covered in people to go reverse. So yeah, no, that's a very good point.
I'd like to ask a question just in general of other board members. If the medical board had a case before them where they had an MD treating somebody else's animal, would we expect them to do an unlicensed practice referral to us?
I would probably expect that, but we also have a caveat of if a human doctor works on their own pet, it's not necessarily illegal. So
right,
I don't want to talk about the spouse and stuff, but I mean, would a spouse kind of, would that be more equivalent than to like a neighbor or something? So yeah, I would expect that, but not every case, I guess, if that makes sense personally.
I don't think we've ever had that. Not in the time that I've been on the board anyway.
I'm not going to say no, but I can't think of
any. I'm like, I feel like we can do it, but I don't necessarily feel that other boards are doing it.
Better referrals from the chiropractic board.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got two good options. Let's pick one and go with it.
So it goes back to Ms. Frost. I don't think there's a wrong answer here.
I think 15 would be easier.
It kind of doesn't feel like it's a good answer. I think that I agree with what you're saying, and what Dr. James said was kind of where I was going with it, is it was his spouse. He didn't prescribe these things, he just filled them, you know, and he owned it, right? There wasn't an air of I do what I want to do, which we've definitely seen. There wasn't a denying it, right? And then, you know, that kind of thing. So that's how I went with the direction that I did. I kind of like the idea of having those two violations standalone. I think they both apply, but that gives maybe a little bit more leverage to the severity. I don't know. I'm still going to stick with the consent decree. Offering a consent agreement, if basically normally what our suggestion would be, if he doesn't agree to sign it, then I think there's other steps we can take. We have other options here. So.
And just one more question on 15, 3222, 3215. It says for other than legitimate purposes. Now, even if it's a prescription, it's not legitimate because it would be legitimate from the doctor, not from the vet, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so make sure legitimate is not unnecessary. Okay.
Yeah. So I still have my motion out there, that's all. I don't know. If
okay. Can you repeat it one more time? Because that was 6 hours ago, sorry.
So I'd make a motion to offer a consent agreement. I will do this a little bit differently. Addressing R311-511, professionally acceptable procedures, and then ARS 3222-3215, unprofessional dishonorable conduct, distribution of narcotics, dangerous drugs, prescription only drugs, or controlled substances for other than legitimate purposes.
I'll second that.
Okay.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Can I just ask that you consider just slightly modifying that motion to reflect it? So we technically have two violations then under the Practice Act. So it'd be 3222-3212 as it relates to Rule 501 as expressed, and then another 3222-3215, and that is based upon the information contained in the board's investigative division report. So, because we need to reference findings of facts in the consent decree. And then I would just ask, after we discuss and take action on this motion, that we come back to what you think is the appropriate disposition, what are the appropriate sanctions to impose and or offer in the consent agreement. Thank you.
Do you want me to restate that?
So moved.
Just say so moved.
Oh, so moved.
So amended.
And I amend my second.
So amended.
All right, so the motion on the floor is to offer consent agreement and to find those findings and those conclusions you want. Any further discussion? Since we're taking this kind of action, let's do a roll call.
Dr. Byrne.
Aye.
Ms. Krieger.
Aye.
Ms. Ross.
Aye.
Dr. James.
Aye.
Mr. Lilly.
Aye.
Dr. Nosley?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
Dr. Thompson?
Aye.
And Dr. Eisenhower, the motion carries.
All right, so next up is what we're going to do.
So now we're going to talk about what we think the sanctions would be.
And the timeline. Accepted within 15 days.
I don't know, Ms. Frost.
Originally I had proposed a $500 fine. I know we have two violations now, so technically that could increase, but and then
5 hours of continuing education in the area of ethics and prescriptions. I didn't really know how I wanted to like split that up, so I kind of wanted to leave that open to a little bit of discussion there. And then if not fine within 30 days for a man to an informal.
On a case like this where we're doing a consent agreement, do we know about priors?
Yes, now that you have, I think you can.
There's no priors.
That's pretty good, 48 years.
There are two, but they're so old that they're closed, that there's no information, so it's beyond our domain.
So the only thing I would say is it seems like a lot of our CEs are in 2 hour increments, so I don't know if we want to do 2 hours in ethics and 2 hours in pharmacy or prescription drugs rather than 5 hours only, because sometimes that's it's just a little bit.
I mean, I'm sure it'd be fine if you ended up getting six, but
yeah, we could go that way. But I mean, I think the topics are good. I mean, I think the ethics and prescribing is the right.
Well, prescriptions actually, there's a lot of prescription ones that come in threes just because of our state requirements for the Abuse Epidemic Act and such, and other states have similar things. So there are differences. There are different options, but if that's what you're used to.
I don't know they need CEs on prescriptions. Because.
Yeah, but it's going to have a problem with prescriptions. It's just the utilization of prescriptions.
Yes, the utilization. When not to fill it.
And I mean, CE around that would be more like a controlled drug. Controlled drug CE. It's not, but at least. Talk more about don't use things for the wrong thing, right? As opposed to this is the dose of methocarbamol or whatever. So even though it's not a controlled drug, I think the controlled drug stuff would cover more of the prescription regulations if we're going to go that way.
But we're required to have those for our licensure anyway.
Yeah. So we if we do something like that, say you can't use that for this and for that, you have to do it separately. Good question.
I think it's I still stick with the ethics. Either make it 4 or 6 odd numbers.
But not 6. It's not a. I'm gonna say it's getting off lucky here, but I mean this could have been a lot worse. So I would say 6.
All right. So we got
$500
civil penalty. 6 hours in ethics, probation for a year. And if not signed, we can say within 30 days?
Yeah.
Are we missing anything that we need in there?
What's that?
Are we missing anything that we need?
No.
We got CE civil penalty, 30 days.
Just to clarify, that's 500 total, not 500 for each violation.
Or should just do
as is.
Per violation, just to add to 500. Is it 500 on one and 0 on the other, or 250 on each?
Or 500.
I just proposed 500 total.
Okay, so let's do 250.
Yeah. And they're both weighted the same.
All right, so 250 each for 500 total. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Thanks.
All right, so do we have that in the form of a motion?
So I'll second that.
It has to do with say so moved, and then you say.
Second.
All right.
So moved.
All right, motion for a second. Any further discussion? Your roll call.
Dr. Byrne?
Aye.
Ms. Krieger?
Aye.
Ms. Frost?
Aye.
Dr. James?
Aye.
Mr. Lodey?
Aye.
Dr. Nosley?
Aye.
Ms. Altman?
Aye.
Dr. Thompson?
Aye.
And Dr. Wright and I, the motion carries.
All right, so that concludes that. Oh, do we put it not signed, what are we gonna do? We didn't put that in there.
Yeah, she said that.
It's not signed in 30 days, we're gonna.
Most of all, okay. All right, so let's get the next one is 2247. Tracy, would you read us this summary, please?
Yes. 2247, the complaint is the Arizona State Veterinary Medical Exam Board, as signed by Jean Nightingale, DVM. October 20th, 2021, the Arizona State Veterinary Medical Exam Board voted to open an investigation after reviewing results from premises inspection conducted at Doyle Vet Clinic on September 28th, 2021. The board noted that there were repeat premises violations found from the inspection conducted on November 6th, 2019, that noted previously reported as corrected. And this is not, did not go over the investigative committee, I brought it back to you for your review and discussion to take action.
Ms. Frost, you are the lead, have no response, no complaint, nobody monitoring, Ms. Frost, you are the lead.
Yes, so I did read the response, and as I recall, this had happened prior, and that's obviously concerning. I'm looking at the case materials, the laws, or there's things to be desired there, but as with many, many of our cases, the COVID situation gets a lot of weight, I guess. I don't know, a lot of the reasoning, I guess, behind things not being done properly. COVID is, the scapegoat sometimes, I feel like. Do I believe that they've probably been fixed? Yes. But it seems, like a pattern there. So I feel like that there needs to be some seriousness to this, like a level of, this is not a safe situation for your team because access, not monitoring your control drugs properly could end up in a safety issue to the public, right? But I kind of was a little bit stuck up where to go. I did make a note, that definitely needs to be reinspected, but I know there's probably a big backlog of that too. And so, I'm not really sure if we should just, I kind of have a question for legal counsel, I feel like, but I'm not sure if I should ask it here, just go into executive session to ask it.
What is it?
So.
You can always throw it out and open and we can go from there.
Yeah, okay. So basically I wanted to ask if again, because of how my familiarity with inspections is that, they're given the opportunity to correct it, right? But if it's come up again and again, are we able to find an issue, a violation, are we able to create, a consent agreement or a letter of concern or have some sort of, are there going to be repercussions at this point since we opened the case, or are we kind of in a position where we can only do a letter of concern or reinspect?
No, that's a great question, and you do have your full bundle of options available to you, which would include offering the veterinarian a consent agreement. You would just need to identify, the findings of fact, which were set forth in the investigative division report, as well as any, the violations that you think are implicated based upon that conduct, the repeated violations.
Okay, do I need to make a motion before we can discuss this, or can we discuss this now?
I have a question real quick before your motion. Or maybe this would be for after if we do that, but when you, because the statutes and rules are different for premise holders than it is for actual licensed vets, when you're going against a premise, can you do things like practice monitors and that kind of stuff there, or does that have to be under individual vet?
I think it would be better if you identified the veterinarian and put it under the veterinarian.
Okay, even though, so you'd have to open it against the actual vet itself, not the premise. Okay. Even though there's a named vet on the premise.
Well, he's the responsible, my understanding in this, he's the responsible veterinarian, correct?
Yeah, would we have to open up a separate case against that responsible one for a premise, or for a practice monitor, or can we do a practice monitor to the practice under that licensed vet? I mean, would we have to close this case and open another case under the vet license themselves? Or can we do a practice monitor under the premise license?
He's the responsible vet, so he would be the one that he would take action on.
Yeah.
Okay.
And order a practice monitor.
Okay, I just didn't know if that's one of those things, no, you can't do that against the building, you can do it against the vet, only check thing. Okay, cool. I'm done, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, that was a great question. So I'm gonna make a motion, to offer a letter of consent, citing the proposed finding, the fact that were cited, the R311-502K3H and R311-502K3, with, recommending a practice monitor for a period of 12 months, with an initial, consultation, 1 month follow up, and then, like a quarterly, follow up with a final report to the board. So an initial report and then progress reports with a final report of findings, to ensure that these violations have been truly
Remedy.
Thank you. That's a good term. And if not signed within 30 days, remand to an informant. I didn't cite anything for a fee simply because of the practice monitor portion, but I'm open to feedback on that too.
So this is a consent agreement, not a letter of concern?
Correct.
Yes.
Sorry, I wasn't sure if I can legal that out. That's why I was asking.
Thank you. Just want to clarify.
Mr. Chairman, may I ask, Nikki, is the practice monitor just looking at the control drugs or at everything?
I was asking for the two cited, so also the consistency in recording the heart rate and respiration rate, just because these two items were proposed. Obviously, on the chart of the case materials, there were more violations. I guess I probably could have asked about, just monitoring all aspects, but I didn't know if that would apply. I guess it was said, so I should probably ask.
It doesn't seem that this premises inspection was very egregious as compared to others, and I don't know if it meets the threshold of paralleling with the other premises that we've had practice monitors for. It might be a better way to get at this. It's, maybe it's more of a civil penalty. Hey, you've been doing wrong, you keep doing it wrong.
So that's what I had in my original handwritten notes here is fine and done. So hammering on each count, call it a day.
And that's not a wrong thing, but I like the fact of the practice monitor because it is, everybody's getting screwed over with grown stuff. I mean, people quitting and being hired and all this, and it's hard with the training. Sometimes it's good to have that person almost as a consultant coming in and saying, well, maybe you can do better in this way, having some third party come in and say, look, you're missing these simple things, but this is what we need to do. I mean, that may be a better way of kind of fixing the issue rather than just finding and moving on. Because, yeah, you pay a fine, you swear a little bit, you're mad, and then you move on, you don't change anything significantly. Whereas someone coming in and actually checking up on you is good. So, I mean, looking at this even from a disciplinary standpoint, not necessarily disciplinary, but as consulting, it's like you're kind of hiring a consultant to help you a little bit get through this and make sure you're doing the right things. Because, again, I think this is probably, yeah, staff turnover issues with that, and it's just keeps getting fallen by the wayside, and we need to figure out a better way of making sure it doesn't. And I don't know if a fine, yeah, it's acceptable, if that's the best way of improving the future.
Well, what if you did a fine and then made a recommendation of you might want to consider a practice monitor as a means of doing this, or you need to figure it out on your own, but you got to get this in order.
Yeah.
Right, because this is a very common thing.
Yeah.
People can't get their drug laws together. You know, so if we're starting, you know, just kind of think about, are you setting this up so every time somebody has bad drug laws, they're going to have to get a monitor.
Well, and the drug laws themselves are, that's a problem. That's
a problem issue. If we're going to start adding to how many monitors are out there.
I'm not
short-staffed, and it's hard to find people anyway. It's going to be hard to find them too.
I think the dispensing log is important. I'm not as concerned about that. I'm really concerned that in 15 minutes you couldn't find time to write down a few numbers. That's actually my more concern than that.
But he was saying that was a one-off.
Yeah, but we never know that.
I think we could do a random inspection.
Because, I mean, even if we said, hey, submit records, you're just going to go through and pick out the records you know are fine. So, I mean, that's not going to be helpful unless we actually went in an audit, which I don't think we need to go to that level. But, yeah, I mean, I'm concerned about the controlled drug logs, but, I mean, the decremented amounts, it's like, okay, well, yeah, that needs to be kept up, but that's not as big of a concern as we just ran the information down. We just didn't do the math at the time. Okay, that's, so I'm not as concerned about that. But like I said, it's just with anesthesia, it's like if you can't, in the span of a sitcom on TV, if anybody watches TV anymore instead of Hulu or something, if you can't, in the span of a sitcom, figure out how to write down four numbers in that entire time, we got issues.
I've been faced with this before where the staff is not keeping up with their records, and I've spent evenings going through everything.
Yeah.
And he's the responsible veterinarian. Mm-hmm. He should have done that.
So yeah, so I'm cool either way. Like I said, it's just like, I think more of helping him to get through as opposed to a punitive punishment. But I'm cool either way.
But sometimes that's what you.
Yeah,
what
no, you no, yeah, I agree. Yeah, no, I agree.
Whack them over the head, man.
But I mean, yeah, no, that's true. Do I
have that left
again?
Well, I could probably fix a lot of things and think about it every day. I don't need another reminder. But if I had to pay something because I didn't do it the right way, then
I think
I'll find a way.
You're still paying for the consultant.
I'll stay up a little later. Just get it done.
But you're still paying for the consultant, and it's set up the
money. Yeah.
Kind of
well,
the general fund as opposed to something useful for you.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking about like 1,000 mils of missing fatal plus. Like, does that not freak anybody out that it's a spot in the practice with four bottles missing and it's a Schedule 2 controlled substance? I mean, I think that I get that practices have these problems. I get that this is not new. I do need continuing education. I provide education on this. I get it. In this situation, it's like, well, but if you would have seen it in 2020, we were doing great. And it's like, okay, yes. And I think it was Dr. Nodley said, sorry, I can't see you. Is that, yes, but as a responsible veterinarian, you've got to take the time to look at this. And there cannot have been, like, how four bottles, so 1,000 mils of fatal plus, that there was no time taken to look at this and figure it out. Like, again, I get if you're busy and you're behind, but look at it once a month, every other month maybe, but this was significantly longer. And so it's not like in large animal where you're using a significant amount and you can trace it back to a couple patients, right? This is a lot of patients. And so it is concerning me in that regard, and that a $500 fine may not make a difference, but having a practice monitor who is coming in regularly, and because this doctor clearly doesn't have the time to do this, to like audit these things and like teach some people and, you know, help out a little bit. That was my only reasoning for this. And again, I get that controlled substances are a problem. I totally did. But DEA doesn't have the time, and neither does our board staff have the time to keep going back and reinspecting these places over and over and over again. And so we're, I'm not advocating that every time there's a problem, there's a practice monitor, but this is a problem. So again, if you all think it's better to go with the fine and then it just, you know, comes up again and then we look at it, I don't know. I think it's more than that, and the doctor probably is super overwhelmed. But I'm really tired of the COVID excuse, because I will tell you guys that, like, I know it feels like we're busier, but we changed our procedures, so we're working harder, not smarter. And so our caseloads, according to the data that's been collected, haven't actually rose that much. So I think we need to look at these things as true issues of like compassion fatigue or burnout or something, and they need backup, they need help. And yes, if it's hard to find an employee, you gotta look at why that is, but in this case, like, they need some more serious help. It is, again, this is just my opinion, and updating it is like perfect fact, but that's why I'm suggesting that. That's the reason. That's why I'm asking if we're stuck with this letter of concern type situation, or if we can go a step further, because help is needed here. And the, whoever was elected and got to inspect this practice, has some great evidence for that provided. So that's why.
So I just go back to what Steph said. A lot of the times when we're taking a lot of different actions, we have three different premise reports that are premise inspections where they are repeated. And all the ones I can remember in recent history where we've tried to take a little harder action on particularly controlled substances, there's been three inspections, not just two. And years apart or not, this one's only 2 years apart, or not even 2 years apart, not quite 2 years apart. I don't know that he needs that much help. He just needed to be reminded that he can't use COVID for an excuse and get it done anyway.
That's why I feel like the civil penalty explaining that we understand practices are tight right now, but that's not an excuse, and your premise needs to be in compliance, and when we audit you again and you still haven't done it, it's going to be more significant. I mean, depending on what it is, and you might want to consider getting a practice monitor so that you don't have to worry about these things and they can just keep up on this for you. Or hire, maybe it's not even a practice monitor, maybe it's hiring an office manager that's going to do this stuff. Like, it's his business. Let him figure out how he wants to fix it. What we're telling you right now is you've got to fix it, and when we come back and it's not fixed, you're not going to like the answer. And by the way, paid money.
And by the way, what?
Paid money.
I still don't hear you right.
Paid money.
Pay the money. Mm-hmm. All right, I like the way you're thinking. Do we have to? There was a motion. Do we ever get a second on the motion?
Can we just repeat the motion, please?
12 months practice monitor, signed within 30 days or to an informal. I don't think we asked for the practice monitor to be approved ahead of time. Yeah. Is that something we normally do?
Yeah, I think we have general, you know, kind of like boilerplate recitals with when it comes to practice monitors.
But are we requiring the practice monitor at this point, or just...
No, that's motion on the floor, and I don't...
So I'll make a second for that.
You have a second for that.
And that is a requirement.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. So that is the motion on the floor. Any further discussion? Dr. James and I are going to vote nay on this. We think we have a better idea.
Because we did.
All right, let's do a roll call.
Dr. Byrne?
Aye.
Ms. Krieger?
Nay.
Ms. Frost?
Aye.
Dr. James?
Nay.
Mr. Lilly?
Nay.
Dr. Nosley?
Nay.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
Dr. Thompson?
Nay.
And Dr. Reyes is an aye. The motion passes by a four.
All right. Better option.
She does.
I would make a motion that we do a $500 civil penalty and send information to the premise holder regarding premise violations must be fixed, that COVID is not an excuse for premises falling behind on their requirements, and that you might want to consider the use of a practice monitor or office manager to help ensure that these things are in compliance. And that's what I would send to him and then or her. And then I would say, I think we need to do a repeat random inspection.
Okay, so that would basically be a consent agreement with a fine. So it would have to be signed within 40 days. I would ask you to amend it to 500 each. And we find those two violations.
I'm fine amending it to 500 each. So a total of 1,000.
If not signed within 30 days, moves to the form.
And I think what I heard was when presenting the consent agreement, just advise the premise holder that, you know, COVID is not an excuse. As the premise holder, you're responsible to ensure that you're conducting your affairs in accordance with all board statutes and rules.
Yes.
We're pivoting a little bit from what we typically do, but I think in the communication, we can probably have that.
And the reason why I'm about offering the practice monitor is because I don't think a lot of practitioners know that practice monitors exist. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't, it's not a, we tell people to get a practice monitor, but those are the worst of the worst. Like, normal practitioners that I know don't necessarily go, oh, maybe I should get a practice monitor. Like,
and all of us have some deficiencies in our hospitals that we just don't recognize. I can guarantee that. Anytime I do an inspection, it's not common to find no violations of anything. I mean, they may be very mild things of, okay, here's a box of expired catheters sitting here, which is a violation, not supposed to be there, but I mean, that's in the grand scheme of things. More of an inventory thing than anything else, but yeah, we're all having issues. So I think practice monitors, stepping back and having a third party look at your practice from time to time anyway is a good idea. Outside consults are not typically bad.
But to me, that's getting more into the business management.
It is, yeah.
It's not.
But
or statutory.
Yeah, I agree. No, yeah, no, I agree.
Public safety or
yeah.
All right, so we have that motion on the floor. We have a second?
Second.
And we have a second.
I'm sorry, Mr. Logan, members of the board, before we vote, is there a time frame for the payment of the civil penalty?
For a thousand
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
Oh, for paying, though, no, for paying. I would say having signed in 30 days and paying maybe 90 days.
Yeah, it's usually 90 for civil penalty.
Okay.
Okay, so agreement within 30 days, signing it within 30 days, and...
Or
remand to an informal, and if payment must be received within 90 days.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we have a motion on the floor. Any second for just what she said? Any more discussion?
No, I just want to make sure for the new members is that clear as well. I just want to make sure before we vote, you guys. Because it gets confusing in the very first cases. So cool. We throw a lot of stuff out there.
All right, so let's do roll call.
Dr. Byrne?
Aye.
Ms. Krieger?
Aye.
Ms. Frost?
Aye.
Dr. James?
Aye.
Mr. Lilly?
Aye.
Dr. Nosley?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
Dr. Thompson?
Aye.
And Dr. Reyes and I, the motion carries.
See, in the end, we all agree.
Yeah.
Well, and I may have missed it through the discussions. Did we adopt findings of fact and conclusions of law?
No.
You don't know how
I did in my first motion, yeah. I did.
Okay, yeah. Thank you. And just to...
But I don't know, that was a motion that failed. In this motion, I don't think I heard that.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah. Okay, I did. No.
And if we could just have a second motion referencing the findings as reflected in the investigative report and the conclusions of all that have been identified.
So I'll make a motion that we use the investigative report as our findings of fact and the conclusions of law is what we had previously discussed in the prior motion.
Is everybody clear on that? Violations, or should we go over those one more time?
Yeah, for posterity, I might as well.
Let's go over the statute. We've got the rules. But I don't think we have the statute to really get out of here.
It's the promise statute. As included in the investigative report, which is R311-502-K3H, R311-502-H3, but as those, they go with the medical records statute violation of 3222-32, number 21.
I second that.
And we have a second.
For the third time.
And I think we've discussed that enough.
Dr. Byrne?
Aye.
Ms. Krieger?
Aye.
Ms. Frost?
Aye.
Dr. James?
Aye.
Mr. Lohi?
Aye.
Dr. Nosley?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
Dr. Thompson?
Aye.
And Dr. Reyes and I. Motion carries.
All right. All those pieces of that puzzle put together. You want to finish this last one?
I have two left. 22, 22, 52, and 23.
Oh, 30. Yeah.
be longer, so let's, we don't know. Third time's gonna be longer.
Yeah, we gotta think on now.
Can we come back to these?
Let's come back to these. So we'll move to the section three, number one. And we gotta get set up, right?
Yep.
So let's take a 5-minute bio break while we set up, and we will reconvene with section three, number one, the informal interview.
We should talk about.